Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are taking care of business every day here on this program. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, over the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We say hello now to the great John McClain, who is on the line with us from Houston. John, good morning. How are you?
Well, I wanted to let you guys know, I didn't want to do this publicly, but if you don't give me my NIL money, I'm quitting.
I mean, that's how it is now. What do you make of this story, John? I mean, this is, to me, the toothpaste isn't going back in the tube. One guy does it, others are going to follow.
And it could have been guys that walked away for that reason. They just didn't make it public.
Right.
The UNLV quarterback has quit on his team. They're undefeated. They're coming up with a big game. They have inside track to the college football playoff if they keep winning, and he just quit on his team. Number one, his agent should have gotten everything in writing. Or I think he should have protested, like gone public with what he was promised, and he thought about leaving the team or boycotting one game, but he couldn't do it for his teammates and everything, and kind of shamed UNLV and or the alums, the collective, whoever it was that didn't do what they said. But I would not have handled it like this. It is a pockmark that he's never going to get rid of, quitting on his team. That is the worst thing you can do at any level of sports, is quit on your team. It's a reputation that will follow you forever.
But what do you think, though, that this does for the future of college sports? Because, I mean, it's, you know, verbally, Pete Thamel saying that, you know, the representation was saying he was verbally promised $100,000 to transfer there. I mean, you know that stuff's going on. But, I mean, to me, if one guy does it, whether it's a bad look or not, I think others are going to follow suit. And to me, they got to get in front of that, and they got to do it quick.
Well, first of all, if they were dumb enough to go there without getting in writing, that's on them. Number two, I do not believe this will become a regular occurrence because of the reasons I just stated. You want to go play in the NFL and you quit on your team, your teammates would hate you. You go to another team, your teammates are going to hate you. And you quit on your team. So, no, I do not see this being a springboard for other players to announce on social media they're leaving because they were not given what they were promised. What it may do is make collectives, schools, whoever's offered him that, make sure they give their players that. I know instances in the NFL that I knew off the record that players would threaten not to play unless their contracts were renegotiated. This was before collective bargaining agreements. And so they would get redone. And so I'm sure this is not the first guy that's done it. He's just the first from a good team who has gone public.
Do you see, here on the horizon, a collective bargaining agreement and contracts, all that coming with college football?
Well, they're so far away from that. Who's going to put it together?
Right.
The NCAA has got no footballs, basketballs. They got nothing. And so who is going to oversee it? Who's going to implement it? So, no, right now, because it's still the Wild West and anything goes, I don't know how they're ever going to make it happen. Is there going to be one person? Is it going to be a body of work? The SEC, of course, would be the leader to have to agree on anything. But also, TV runs everything, ESPN and Fox. If ESPN and Fox decide, okay, we don't like this anymore, we want you to do this, then there would be a movement for it. But right now, everybody's going in different directions, and everything goes. You can imagine how many times players have said behind the scenes, okay, look, you said you were going to give me $100,000. You know, I want it by next week in two installments of 50 and 50, or I'm not going to play, not quit on your team publicly, but I'm not going to play, or I want more. You know, a lot of it, the parents are behind it because the parents got their hands out too. I'm told parents in high school got their hands out, which is illegal, but of course they're going around colleges offering the parents money in high school. At some point, it'd be middle school, maybe even some sixth grader.
It's not going to end. We're talking to John McClendon this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, to the NFL, had two different people wanted me to ask you your opinion on this. You know, the last couple of years, it's been talked about how Patrick Mahomes gets calls from the referees and all that. And people are like, no, it's just football. But watching Sunday night, John, just your thoughts on this, because there are a couple of plays that were definitely pass interference, not called. And I know that's not – NFL's not like, oh, we're helping Pat Mahomes out. But more and more people, John, are talking about this. What are your thoughts about this?
The interference in the end zone in which the chief grabbed the guy and held his arms back, the official was right there looking at it. And I don't – maybe he was looking at something else. But he was in position to see it, and they missed it. And, of course, it was in the Chiefs' favor. So some people would say, well, the Chiefs have earned this by winning three Super Bowls and two in a row under Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. But you see bad calls all around the league. You see bad – there was one on Monday, and you see them. And until they get what Bill Belichick – tried to get pushed through, and I don't know why they didn't do this. Anything is reviewable. And their complaint is, well, that would extend the games. No, it wouldn't change challenges. It wouldn't change anything. But a coach could, if he saw something egregious, he could challenge it at any point in the game, and he could lose his timeout. So it would not make the game any longer. At some point, I think they're coming to that. I also wish that they had an eye in the sky who could say, hey, you guys need to call interference on number 40. But I'm sure the official thought at a time like that, he didn't want to affect the outcome of the game, but he should have. And we see it every week. Just some of them are not on national TV.
Absolutely. All right, John, we're three games into the National Football League season, and there's a couple of teams that are unbeaten. I got to tell you, John, the Buffalo Bills, they look like they're firing at all cylinders. Your thoughts on the Bills, and after that, the Steelers as well. I mean, two teams that have come out of the gate on fire.
Well, the Bills, I thought they'd be a Super Bowl contender, never thought they wouldn't win the AFC East, but they've been great. Josh Allen would be the MVP right now. Kansas City has struggled to win, as they often do, till they get to the playoffs. There's just something magical about them doing what it takes to pull out games. I just saw Minnesota just dismantle the Texans. It was ugly, 34-7. And then the Steelers, they're winning with great defense, old-fashioned football. And Justin Fields, I was asked on a show this week, how many legitimate Super Bowl contenders are there? And I said, well, Kansas City and Buffalo, and I can't say Pittsburgh's a legitimate Super Bowl contender with Justin Fields. I can't say Minnesota's a legitimate Super Bowl contender with Sam Darnold off to a great start for three games. And with San Francisco suffering injuries and Philadelphia and Dallas struggling, I think there's two. Baltimore beats the Cowboys. Baltimore's still 1-2. Now, I told them, ask me in 8 weeks, and it'll change, because some of these teams off the bad starts will do well. Some off the good starts will fold. It happens every year. But right now, I see two teams, right, if I could say, legitimate Super Bowl, and that's the Bills and the Chiefs.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game on this Wednesday, continuing our discussion with John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. You mentioned the Chiefs earlier and how they struggle to win, as they sometimes do. How concerned should Chiefs fans and should the Chiefs be that Travis Kelce, their star tight end, 8 catches, 69 yards, no touchdowns in 3 games?
Patrick Mahomes is asked about that, of course, every week, maybe multiple times a week, and he said every time I look up for him, he's being covered. Now, what, did they not cover him last year? I think it's terrible that people now are blaming it on Taylor Swift, spending too much time with her. He's also, people forget, he's older.
And he's 34,
As you get older and you've taken the beating that he's taken, at some point he's going to start to slip. But it would help, of course. Now, Rashee Rice, yeah, if he's playing really well, I'm beginning to think his suspension won't be till next season. And that's too bad because he deserved to be suspended this season. But maybe they are putting more people against Kelce this year. They've come up with some kind of new plan, and it's opening up wide. You know, Xavier Worthy started off great in that first game. He hadn't done much lately because you got to do something about just run fast. So, but they're still winning, and I think they're doing it without a significant contribution from Kelce, and that makes their achievement being even more impressive.
Now, we've basically haven't brought it up to this point, but now we got to get into the team here in Nashville. 0-3 to start the season. They not only lose to the Green Bay Packers and Matt LaFleur and Malik Willis, but they got blown out. I mean, it was not a pretty game. I was there. There were more Packer fans, I think, than Titans fans. So what's kind of your thought at this point on the Titans starting off 0-3 in the Brian Callahan era?
Well, of course, everybody expected more. And in this game with Malik Willis, they trade him. They keep Mason Rudolph. Right now, Matt LaFleur is doing and his staff on offense doing a great job of coaching and game planning for Malik Willis, who has the highest average per carry and the highest average per attempt in the NFL. And yet he may not play another game. He might be a candidate for comeback player of the year if he never plays another game, because they have done a great job of incorporating him into their system. Now, if you look at the Titans, nobody has to tell them you can't run the ball 11 times and average 3 yards a carry and expect to win. I thought when they were down 20-7 and in the third quarter, they scored a touchdown, makes it 20-14, and it's competitive, but it was the other way around. 27-7 in the third quarter, so that takes you out of your total game plan. One of the many things that surprised me about the Titans, is this stat right? The defense is not forced to turn over?
That's correct.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and I wonder when the last time, and where are they rated defensively? It's like top five?
They were.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. They were like number one for a minute.
Well, that is a stat that just blows me away, considering they're supposed to be able to play good defense. And I know there's a lot of people up there saying they need to bench Will Levis. Well, you don't learn anything about Levis by benching him after three games and going to Mason Rudolph. You're not going to make the playoffs. Since the start of 2000, the only 0-3 team to make the playoffs was the 2018 Texans, who had a 9-game winning streak. So they got to watch Levis so they will know, see if they see any improvement, see if he's not making the same mistakes he's been making. And I wonder if Amy Adams Strunk said to Rand Carthon and to Brian Callahan after she saw the Cowboy game, now tell me again why when we were spending all that cap money, we didn't want to keep Derrick Henry.
I wonder.
Exactly right. We're talking to John McClain this morning on the Chase of Big Joe Show. John, the Titans traveled to Miami to take on the Dolphins on Monday night. There's a little heat on Mike McDaniel down there. Do you see this getting worse for him or better going forward, John?
Well, I don't. When you've lost your two quarterbacks, I don't know how there could be heat on a guy, except people were thinking Super Bowl of them. I never thought Dolphins and Super Bowl should be in the same sentence. But you lose to the Tagovailoa. You don't know when he's coming back. And then Thompson gets hurt. Now you're going with Tim Boyle, who was on the Texans roster throughout the offseason and preseason. And he's a veteran starter. And people wondered, well, the Texans, boy, they look so good in preseason. Well, they had three veteran quarterbacks playing. They didn't have some rookie who was an undrafted free agent coming in and screwing up. So Boyle is the guy. I'm not saying he's going to do what Malik Willis did, but Boyle can run too, not like Willis, of course. But they're going to be home. It's going to be, let's see, it's at Miami, right?
Yes, sir.
Prime time. And so if the Titans have to play better on both sides of the ball, are they capable of winning? Yes, they're capable of winning. One of the things I liked about Mike Vrabel, and last year was a great example, nothing to play for, Jaguars win, they win the division, Titans beat them. They were capable under Vrabel of pulling upsets when we all thought they were going to lose. Now Brian Callahan needs to prove he's capable of doing that, and you have caught a team that's got injuries, especially at quarterback. When you're on your third quarterback, you ought to be able to beat a team.
Oh, absolutely. John, your thoughts on the Bengals? I know they always start slow, but they just seem off this year for some reason.
Not slow like this, Joe. They are to me the biggest disappointment in the NFL. There are others like the Ravens at 1-2, the Cowboys 1-2. Cowboys could go from first to worst. They always beat the Giants. They own the Giants. But what if the Giants beat them on Thursday night to put them in last place? Can you imagine what's going to be going on up there in Big D? And so the Bengals being 0-3, we all thought, okay, they've been 0-2 before. They're going to win this one. And they get beat. They get beat by rookie quarterback who looked like the reincarnation of John Elway and the way he was throwing the ball down the field. So I don't think Zach Taylor's in danger of being fired. But, of course, they can turn it around. But I don't see him going to the playoffs. I mean, they're three games behind the Steelers right now. I could see Baltimore bouncing back behind Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, but I don't see the Bengals bouncing back enough to get in the playoffs.
Real quick, John, if the Cowboys do lose to the Giants on Thursday night, does Jerry fire somebody? Maybe not the head coach, but does somebody lose their job over that?
Yeah, the fans would love him to fire himself. It's not going to happen. The only head coach he's ever fired during the season, Wade Phillips in 2010. Yep. He's not a quick trigger. So, no, I don't think that's going to happen. But if the way they have beaten the Giants so thoroughly throughout the last 10 or 15 years, to lose that would be the ultimate indignity. And I think there's a lot of people like to see it, including Cowboy fans, because they want McCarthy gone. And the problem is everybody saw they needed a running back except them. Now they can't run. And they can't stop the run. It's the first time after three games in their history they've been last against the run.
Unbelievable for sure. John, great stuff as always. We'll talk next week.
Guys, thank you very much as always.
Yes, sir. John McClain, HoustonTexans.com, where you can find his work, and he joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. We keep it moving. Coming up next, Derek Mason, head coach of the MTSU Blue Raiders. He will join us as they get ready for their game against Memphis. We'll do that next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.